Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Mark Chandler. He is a managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog. I will post a link to that blog below this interview. Mark, let's start off by talking about currencies. You are a currency expert, and well, quite frankly, we're seeing some interesting moves in the currency markets this week that I think are being ignored, or at least a little bit ignored, I think, due to some of the volatility that we've seen in some of these other sectors. But I do have to ask you, the US dollar had just dropped below 90 on the dollar index, recovering a little bit today. For the overall currency space, what's been catching your eye this week?
Yeah, I think that the most striking thing about the foreign exchange market now, I'd say two things. One is how sensitive it seems like all the currencies are to U.S. interest rates. So on days like when we had the CPI shocker, or when we had those, what I think was a misreading of those FOMC minutes and interest rates in the U.S. jump up, the dollar catches a bid. But when it doesn't happen, the dollar just continues to trade heavy. In this past week, which is the other development besides the interest rate, is the currencies that have underperformed this week. Norway, which has been one of the strongest currencies of the year, New Zealand and Australian dollars, and Sweden. And what these four currencies seem to have in common is that among the majors, they are seen to be tied to growth, but especially commodities. Canadian dollar is actually the best performer out of that bunch of what people think of natural resource companies, and that was basically flat this week.
So, Mark, what does that mean for commodities or even for these currencies? Do you think this is the start of a longer correction? Because in all fairness, we just started to see some weakness broadly in commodities, actually at about the same time when precious metals started to move higher, gold started to change direction. Commodities like base metals, even energy, has shown some weakness this week.
Yeah, the thing that strikes me with commodities right now, and the same thing with crypto, is that the Chinese seem to be taking a step in the direction. For example, about 2 weeks ago, they began complaining about the rise in commodity prices. Today, as we speak, on Friday, the Chinese have said that the head of the research department, the PBOC, suggests that maybe they should allow the RMB to strengthen to offset commodity prices. And then we know that they have begun enforcing their ban on access to crypto by financial institutions and payment companies.
Do you think that this is going to be a longer-term issue? Because that was a key news event, or a couple of key news events that happened this week that caused some serious volatility.
Yeah, so it does look to me like, for example, in China, the commodities that they trade the futures on there, like iron ore, they're looking at a second week of decline. And that 2 weeks of declining commodity prices in China has helped lift the Chinese bond prices, pushing the yields to the lowest level since last September. So I think that we might be seeing after several weeks of rallying, we might be seeing the first genuine pullback in commodity prices. And what we can use to look at that is the CRB index, just because that's a composite basket. And it's basically, even though it's steady today around 200 on the index, this brings us back to basically the lows of the month. So it might not be the end of things, because today we're seeing the flash PMIs, the flash purchasing managers indexes, and it does look like Australia, the U.S., and Europe, and the U.K. are accelerating. And so with that kind of strong demand, it's hard to see why it's not going to be good for commodity prices. But in the short run, perhaps there's room for a little bit more profit taking.
So is this simply just because commodities have run so quickly, so fast, that this is kind of a natural, almost a pause or correction that you, it sounds like, think that there could be another leg higher, but we need to go through this digestion phase?
Yeah, I think so. I worry that maybe it fits in with the crypto as well. You know, the Chinese timing is incredible, right? They begin expressing concern about commodity prices. I don't really know if they've done anything as much as just when you know Chinese officials don't want something, at least it gives people a pause. And we're seeing, I think, I think we're seeing in the U.S. at least delays in, say, the people say concern that the price of lumber is boosting the price of a house, building a house, say, by $30,000 or something on that kind of magnitude. And so I've just seen a lot of anecdotal reports about people delaying things like building because of higher prices, which then removes the sort of a bid from the market. So I am concerned that prices have gone up too far, too fast, and that's going to bring in new supply. And that's what we're seeing in the grains, too. Some better weather conditions. People are now talking about a bumper wheat harvest for the U.S.
So, Mark, do you think that this is, and I know this is kind of a big picture concept, and it's no one knows for sure, but is this early stage of a true commodity bull cycle here, almost a super cycle, as some people have called it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's always, every bull market seems like a super cycle. That's what it's advertised, huh? I don't know. I mean, I kind of think that what we miss is that the markets, the way the markets work, I think, to the extent that they do work, is that the rising prices is going to encourage new entries into the market, new sources of supply. I was just reading a report about Mongolia, huge metals and minerals, and how to get more multinational companies from China, the U.S., Canada, Switzerland, are all investing in this new supply. And so that's what concerns me, really, is that to the extent that the commodity rally has been driven by two things, right? Low inventories and very strong demand. As we reopen and as the people are building and extending things, I just think that supply, it's not just that supply is more elastic, and we'll see more supply coming on, which it concerns me as far as these big super cycles go. I kind of think we've had one. We've had a huge rally in prices, some to like multi-year, some to record levels. And I think that there'll be a sort of caution about this. Now, what's interesting to me, too, is that think about like iron ore and that China, very annoyed with Australia's foreign policy because it's a U.S. ally, China warned this week that they'll look for alternative sources to Australia's iron ore. And, of course, people tell me that Australia is building such a big hole, digging out all this iron ore, that the whole island may sink.
I hadn't heard that one, but I like that, Mark. That's you always come up with some good comments on that aspect. Let's also talk about cryptocurrencies, too, because those were all over the news this week. And cryptocurrencies, just in about a month, have given up, or Bitcoin at least, gave up about 50% of its overall price. And a lot of the, I guess, drivers initially was more just tweets and comments by Elon Musk. But then this week, China really took control or took hold of the news flow for cryptocurrencies and just further drove them lower. What do you think about China's role in really pushing the cryptocurrencies lower?
Yeah, this is quite an amazing spark. I mean, and why would China be the first? Kind of, I think, caught a lot of people off guard. You know, two things. One is that it's not just about the trading of that, of crypto, but also the mining of the Bitcoin, where these computers use up a lot of energy to solve these mathematical problems. And that's what they call the mining. And China was responsible for like 70% of the mining of Bitcoins. And they're cracking down on that as well. Some people try to link it to China soon, perhaps as soon as the Winter Olympics, to launch its own digital currency that's been experimenting with for more than a year now. And so in order to protect its monopoly, it's got to get rid of pretenders to the throne, so to speak. I think that's part of it. But I think that, I have a subscription to the Financial Times. I'm sort of old-fashioned. I still read the hard copy. And today's headline is that Biden targets cryptocurrency transfers to rein in tax evasion. And that's what I think we're seeing, is that not only China, but in the U.S. and other countries are going to have to do the same thing as they look for, you know, they've gone on a huge spending spree. And one way to help fund that spending spree is to close down loopholes. And apparently, in the crypto space, there's been a loophole that's been tough to enforce. And so it seems to me reasonable to expect more of this. And do the idea of crypto not being money, I tried to make that argument before that crypto could be an asset, but it's not money in the way that economists, and I think the way the market understands money to be. So I think it's good. It's fascinating to watch this. It's the volatility, though, I think reinforces the idea that who will want to use it for really money? Because you don't really know what you're paying. I mean, that proverb, that urban legend about the guy several years ago who bought a pizza with a couple of bitcoins. I mean, really paying $80,000 or $60,000 for two pizzas, who wants to be that guy?
Well, and it's just so volatile, right? And even Tesla has to cut off their selling Tesla models or selling Tesla cars with cryptos because it is just so volatile, right? But seems to be very much a speculation vehicle. And again, is it all about governments and their potential restrictions in terms of what could be true headwinds or cause more crashes in the crypto space?
Yeah, so that's why I think it's interesting, right? So China, like India, has an outright ban. But I don't think that's what we're going to do in the U.S. or what Europe's going to do. I think that they're going to just try to regulate it and tax it. I mean, I could see it taxed. It's not really geared just to crypto, but a high-frequency tax, a transaction tax. And I can see how that could slow things down as well. It's sort of like what they did about the currencies. You know, many years ago, an economist at Yale, this guy James Tobin, he said the wheels of capitalism grind very efficiently, maybe too efficiently. So he suggested like a Tobin tax on foreign exchange transactions, a small one, like pennies on millions of dollars. But the foreign exchange market, as you know, is $6.6 trillion a day. And a very small tax, pennies on the million, could really turn out to be a nice sum for somebody.
Yeah, we'll see exactly what, I guess, more restrictions are. But I think you're right. There will be, or I think we should expect some sort of taxes that will come into that sector out of the U.S. And yeah, who knows? Maybe an outright ban, but you're probably right that it will be just more tax-focused. Now, one final comment here regarding and tying in that crash in cryptos. Some pundits are saying that's what's helping out the gold market. Money is rotating out of cryptos into precious metals. Do you agree with this comment?
Yeah, you know, it's hard not to agree that some people who had bought crypto moved out of gold. But the interesting thing to me is gold's rally. I mean, people are talking about it this week partly because we're getting close to $1,900 again. But the story with gold really began, I'd say, at the end of Q1. You know, it was a tough quarter for gold, Q1, but it was also a quarter in which U.S. rates jumped. And now that U.S. rates are heading lower, it seems to me gold can head higher. That's how I would look at gold. It's really a signal, maybe it's contemporaneous, of the dollar and U.S. interest rates. And if you tell me U.S. interest rates have headed lower, I'd imagine gold can head up higher. So out of the last 7 weeks, gold has been up six of those weeks. And that's very much in line with what the Treasury market's done. It's generally drifted lower here in Q2, as has the dollar. So to me, gold is really, like we were talking about before, interest rates a key driver, like it is with other currencies. And then you've got the weak dollar. So it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, we took out the 200-day moving average. It wouldn't surprise me to get a little bit closer to 1900. But it does seem to me like it's getting a little bit stretched as well.
Okay. Yeah, interesting comments there, Mark. And you're right. As much as I think some pundits want to look into other market moves, it really does come down to rates and a lot of currencies as well that can drive the metals prices, especially gold. Mark, good chatting with you. Thanks for wrapping up this week when it comes to currencies, because again, there were some very interesting moves in currencies, and those markets can sometimes predict what's going on in other sectors as well. Mark, thanks for your time. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll chat again next week.
Thanks. Good luck to everybody.